Welcome to Agents of Providence. This is Doyle Burbank Williams. I get to be the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the whole idea of this is that we get to play an active part in bringing good into the world and building what some of us call the kingdom of God, which is why we can be agents of providence. Over the last few weeks, we've been exploring some ideas about dreams and how dreams open us to possibilities that we might not consider in our waking world. And we're going to listen to the description of one of the most famous, best known at any rate, dreams in the New Testament. It's the dream where Joseph sees a way around this problem of his fiance carrying a child that isn't his. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her betrothed, was a righteous man, but he didn't want to humiliate her, so he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all of this took place so that what God had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled, where it says, "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did just as the angel of God commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Joseph called him Jesus. One of the problems we have reading the Bible is that we tend to look through halo-tinted glasses. What I mean by that is we think all of the people in the Bible were saints or angels. But a close reading reveals just how honest the authors of the Bible were. Only rarely do they portray those people with gloss and glitter. Most often they are portrayed with all of the warts, scars, and ill-fitting suits that any real human being bears. Abraham, the founder of Judaism, was a liar. Sarah was murderously jealous. Jacob was a scoundrel. Rachel and Leah were green with envy of each other. Moses was a killer. David, the greatest king Israel ever had, was a murderer and a philanderer. James and John were troublemakers. Judas was a betrayer, and Peter, purportedly the most important of the 12 disciples, failed and denied. The apostle Paul was short-tempered and had blood on his hands. Not exactly what you would expect from the founders of a religion or two. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Joseph, Jesus' father. There is nothing to impugn his character. But with the tendency already given by the biblical authors, I assume that he was every bit as human as the other characters, or as you or I. Matthew does tell us he was a righteous man. That certainly does not mean that he was self-righteous. In fact, it seems to mean he was a pretty good guy. Other translations say that Joseph was just, upright, good, always did what was right, of stern principle, noble, and honorable. Honorable is a weighted description considering the culture of that area and time. Honor is still important for particularly men in the Middle East. A man's honor is more important to him than money or fame. Mary's pregnancy would have extremely impugned Joseph's honor, in the same way as allowing a thief to steal his most prized possession. Actually, adultery was considered a crime of theft. Another man has stolen and damaged the husband's property, namely his wife, who was literally his property. Everyone would have assumed that Joseph's honor was attacked if Mary's baby was not his. I knew an American family working in Yemen some years ago who were shocked when a local friend of theirs ended his daughter's life because she became pregnant without being married, in order to preserve his family's honor. I really cannot understand how important honor must be in such a culture. So if Joseph was indeed an honorable man, and one wanting to preserve his honor, then he only had a couple of choices. He could have chosen the consequence we see in the 8th chapter of John, where a woman caught in adultery was about to be stoned to death. It seems that Joseph would have been within his rights had he demanded Mary's death. But he's also described as kind. And because he didn't want to humiliate him, here I'm quoting from Matthew's gospel, because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. Now, I am no expert in anthropology, but this seems an incredibly gracious solution to this dilemma over Joseph's honor. I wonder how many men in that day would have even considered Mary's feelings. Nonetheless, Mary's pregnancy meant an end to his plan to marry her. There just was no other way around it. I imagine that night, after making his decision, that Joseph slept fitfully. Maybe for a man who wanted not to attract attention, who wanted to live his life uneventfully, that the dream he dreamt might have seemed almost a nightmare. The dream told him to disregard the opinions of his peers and take Mary as his wife. It told him to accept her child as an act of grace and of God. Even more, this scandal-born child would be a powerful means of salvation. The dream instructed Joseph to give up his honor, to bear the scorn and sneers of the honorable men. And that's the power of dreams. They open us to what our conscious and rational minds cannot conceive. Dreams can take us places we've never seen, or even places that do not exist in the waking world. Dreams give us abilities that we don't possess. We can fly or swim underwater without drowning, or perform feats of derring do, or even accept an untenable situation and believe that God can bring from it amazing grace and love. Such was Joseph's dream. Now, it was not very long ago that there were members of our preceding congregations who could not imagine giving up their individual identity to form something else. I remember Gil Savory gruffly complaining about the names of the different worship services, something that was done to attempt to differentiate between the styles of the services. He said something to the effect of, "Churches don't change their names." Now, this was early on in my tenure here at New Visions, but even then, I knew that what was then Southminster once bore names like Calvary and Caldwell. So today, we are living this dream we call New Visions United Methodist. And what I'm inviting us to entertain is the dream of our future. Dreams open to us possibilities that we don't find in cold, rational discussions. Dreams open us to choices we might not consider as viable or even doable. I've known people struggling with addiction that had undergone treatment numerous times and had decided that they were hopeless. But something opened up in them. One was a big, tough, burly man who grudgingly took part in a kind of painting therapy exercise. Soon after slashing paint across the canvas, The instruction was to paint big, to fill the canvas, and not to just diddle in the middle of the space. Soon after slashing paint across the canvas, tears started streaming down his face. Something in the physical activity of the painting, or the colors, or the act of letting go, unlocked emotions that he had stashed away his whole life. Experiencing his grief and pain, maybe for the first time, he began to dream of a different life. And the dreaming led him to healing. I believe that dreams can do that for us all. We don't have to be addicted or suffering monumental illness or trauma. Dreams can lead us to a path and a life that we otherwise might never have considered. Like Joseph, dreams can bring God's clarity to our confused and untenable situations. It is a reminder that God inhabits the totality of our beings and not just the waking hours. And so here are a few questions to ponder. When have you felt like you've been stuck in a dead end in your life? Can you think of times when inspiration offered a surprising new direction? If our gospel is that Jesus Christ opens to us new paths of grace and even salvation, how would this be good news for our neighbors? And finally, where might our dream take new visions in the days to come? This is Doyle Burbank Williams, and you've been listening in on Agents of Providence as we consider some of the power of dreams in our lives. I hope you are dreaming of a life fulfilled and opened and exciting. If you've got any comments to make, I'd love to see them. I'd love to engage with you further. And until next time, I dream for you of peace and joy and love.